Welcome to another talk on money, business, and investing. My name is Jose, the founder of the company and brand here, Master Investor. If you're new to our community, ensure to subscribe and follow us on all other social media platforms. We are delivering daily content to help us build our assets column by improving our financial IQ. That is what is required in order to have more wealth in our lives. Today, we have a topic. It's going to be on how to invest with other people's money, or also known as OPM. And it's one of my favorite topics because true capitalism is when we apply other people's money, when we start understanding how to be creative, not only with our money, but using our money to leverage ourselves to acquire other people's money to invest is how we build true wealth, because we have leverage, so we can have more power to buy and acquire cash flow and asset that is bringing a lot of excess of cash flow. So the power in which we can acquire things that are profitable increases when we use debt. That's what we always say inside of our community, that there are two types of debt, good debt and bad debt. Good debt makes us wealthy. It's a type of debt that we use to invest in an asset that produces passive income and sometimes capital gains income. It depends on the asset or which asset class we are going to invest in using OPM. And the asset's revenue has to pay for the debt service, the interest, all the expenses, plus it needs to give us positive cash flow. Whatever is left is our positive cash flow. So that is money for nothing. If we're using 100% debt to acquire an asset or build one from scratch, if we're using other people's money because we're raising the capital, then we are tapping into the holy grail of investing, which is infinite return on investing. And I always talk about it because it's so important to grasp our minds around the right concepts when it comes to building a successful business. And it doesn't have to be physically big, the business, because today everything is digital. So we must train ourselves to see the world with our minds, okay? And money is digital today. It's a currency, it's debt. It's an idea backed up by confidence. Today, money is not longer real money because on August 15, 1971, President Nixon separated the gold standard from the US dollar. From that point forward, money became monopoly money, fiat money, paper money, and just an idea backed up by confidence. Therefore, we can use debt to improve our cash flow for nothing. We're literally using the bank's money, the government's money, right? And so if we see the dollar strengthen, percentages going after that change in the law when it was separated from the gold, it skyrocketed. In 2008, we printed even more money, right? And so inflation is not going to go away necessarily, because the more money we print, and it's not longer just being printed, it's also being printed digitally. So about 135 million notes per day are being printed physically, not by the Federal Reserve Bank, but another institution. If the Federal Reserve Bank controls the amount of circulation of the amount of money of circulation that is in the economy. And the Federal Reserve Bank is not federal, it's not, there's not a reserve, there's nothing there. And today we're printing more digitally than ever before. And in fact, crypto is the new money in town. As we know, crypto is not longer just an asset and an asset class of its own to invest for capital gains income. Today we can create cash flow with crypto and utilize the gains that we are getting from those profits, as long as we invest in the proper cryptocurrencies. The market, as we understand, crypto is very volatile. It goes up and down quickly. So there's a certain risk to that, and we need to just calculate our risk. The more financial education we have, the better we are at minimizing and managing risk. Okay, so every investment has some sort of risk, just like with anything. But it's not the investment or investing that is risky. It's the investor behind that investment that makes it risky. So who we are as investors determines who we attract and what type of investments we are acquiring. A lot of people are calling investments things that are actually liabilities in their financial statement. they are living a lie because they lack financial education. Our mission here at Master Investors to elevate the financial well-being of humanity through high-quality financial education, made simple. We look at opportunities to build passive income and true wealth. If you're an existing partner and customer of ours here at Master Investor, welcome back. Ensure to check out all the links that we have added. There are probably new ones to have access to tools, resources. Also, we have 3 ebooks right now, The 10 New Rules of Money, How to Build Cash Flow with the Internet, Turn Passive Income On, and How to Invest in Crypto to Build Wealth, Understand the Bitcoin and Blockchain. It's critical that we invest in our financial education every single day. It should never stop, regardless of how successful we are. Make sure we have mentors around us at all times. And they could be in the form of books, seminars, courses that we take along the way, but we also need to have in-person mentors, someone that we can talk to that can give us on real-time feedback without having any bias, or and it's completely neutral, right? So we need to trust this person, and we need to have the right people in our corner. And mentors mean they have done what we want to do already, and they have done it successfully. So we need to sometimes pay for those products, right? And the knowledge. Today, knowledge is money. Information is key. When it's organized and it has chapters and it has references, then we can definitely count that as a valuable asset, because otherwise we'll have to look through the entire pile of information that exists in the world, which is limitless at this point. There's so much information that is contained on the cloud, on the web, that we can actually spend the entire day looking for information and try to put something together. So the information that is already organized is worth a lot of money. That's why it's important to understand how to create also digital assets, because maybe you have an expertise or a talent or something that you can provide back to the world in a form of a digital asset, like a service or a product that you can package on a digital course or an ebook, something that you can talk about that you're an expert in. And even if you're learning something new, you can also create a dive on that, how to get started in this field, and you can record every single step along the way. It is important that we start creating content if we want to be omnipresent and create a brand that reaches billions of people around the world. We can do it today because we have tools, resources. The smallest person in the world has the opportunity to become the biggest person in the world. That's the beautiful thing about today's age, that regardless of who we are, we all have the same opportunity. So take advantage, make sure you join our inner circle. If you get our ebooks on our website, you'll have additional access that comes with each ebook. And those assets would allow you to increase the bottom line, the cash flow, because it's going to help us build the assets column. And we're going to continue to bring more assets into that digital course. So the digital course itself is vivid. It's going to go up in value. When you get in today, you'll be grandfathered for any other asset that we add into that specific course that you got into today. We will grandfather you in forever at no additional cost. So think about in a year, 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, that specific course has grown on value, because we will have exclusive interviews that will be timeless, right? Because it's knowledge from experience. Wealthy entrepreneurs, investors, celebrities, anybody that can talk about that topic and can bring in value, we're going to do an interview that is exclusive and only accessible to the members of that specific course and ebook. So go to our website, check them out. If you like to have them on Kindle, have the paperback, go to Amazon. But if you listen to my recommendation, you go to our website, it's better. You have the ebook, you can download that as many times as you want in any smart device. You can view it inside of our digital virtual office that you will have access to on our website. You'll create a password and a unique email. You will have your email as a username, and you'll have access to any asset that we add into that course. And also, of course, the videos and anything that we add in there, documents, and as long as we continue to update the ebook as well, you will have access to the new edition. So make sure you take action, because one thing is to listen to these amazing talks that we're having about money and how to build true wealth and how to reach financial independence and create total freedom, because the wealth that we're talking about here is about freedom, and it's not about 30 years, 40 years from now. We want to be wealthy now, as fast as possible. And it doesn't take much really to get somebody from the left side of the cash flow circle to the right side of the cash flow circle. It takes a shift in the mindset, because majority of people are operating with the context of the poor person. And they need to learn the new concepts, the new values of money, the new rules. Everything has changed. So if we were taught something about money when we were growing up, then it has changed. Money has evolved, and a lot of people are still playing with the old rules of money. That's why we created that ebook, The 10 New Rules of Money, because we're laying everything down so that anyone, regardless of their background, can come in, even if you have an existing business that's making millions. A lot of people are stuck with their business. They can't grow it. So either we need a new twist in that business from a different perspective. We need to upgrade our team, our mentors, right? And a lot of times it starts with that, because all it takes is one person to take a look at what we're doing that already has done what we are attempting to do and how to grow that. It takes just one simple perspective, a sentence, right? A twist. That's what we call it here. What is our twist to take our life to the next level? We always have a twist that we haven't tapped into to go to the next level. And we should always be in search of that. We should attract it by being the right individual, by staying down on our financial education, by honing down on our craft, on what matters, having a plan every day, having valuable choices that we're making daily that marks and makes an impact in the world. How many people walk around without making any sort of impact to anybody? And if you want to live that type of life, then great, but are we here to live through our passions and purpose in life? And I believe we can improve humanity by tapping into our greatness that we all have inside of us. It's not like certain people have this type of greatness. No, we are all special in some way or another. We have to tap into that greatness by finding who we are every day. So we need to do self-development. We need to start building our assets column using other people's money, because that's what the wealthy do. And the other people's money is in the form of credit cards, loans, and we're gonna cover a lot of those things today. So by the end of this video, you will learn what is OPM, how to use it, why it's important to use it, and in order to become a financial investor, we need to receive passive income and capital gains income. Now, it's not like in 30, 40 years from now, we need to touch that money. We need to be able to have access to that. So we need to control the assets that we're building on our assets column. Increase our wealth by taking use of the enormous purchasing power of other people's money legally. Summary. Raising capital with other people's money, OPM, is a clever approach to leverage our way to financial freedom. Purchasing OPM necessitates a plan that addresses the primary concerns of the investors. There are numerous methods for obtaining the money of others. Let's say we get the chance to buy a quaint yet traditional 10-room boutique hotel that is on the verge of foreclosure. However, something is lacking. It is perhaps money. Alternatively, imagine that we want to build a small organization or company we already own or create, but we need a financial boost to get things off the ground. We identify a few individuals we know outside the company as possible investors, but how do we convince them to fund our venture? Here's more scenarios. For example, a woman who we have met multiple times asked us to invest in her privately held wind energy business, which has been up and running for 5 years. We have the money, but how can we determine if this is the correct investment for us? In the realm of investment, raising funds, sometimes referred to as OPM, other people's money, is essential. However, it is also among the most daunting aspects of becoming an investor at first. Utilizing other people's money, OPM, It is power. OPM, or other people's money, is precisely what it sounds like, investing and controlling greater and more assets with capital and funds that are not our own. There are numerous advantages, but one that stands out is that we can increase our positive cash flow considerably more quickly, consistently, and profitably than we could have done it with our own funds and capital. Even though it may sound strange, employing money that isn't legally ours is the key to success investing, to successful investing, literally, because we can minimize taxes. So that way, we're already making more money, because if we have to pay less in taxes, which is the highest expense humans have, then we're already making more money if we're using 100% debt. And if we have, let's say, capital in our bank account, we should use that capital to raise capital before we use our capital. Let's use the bank's capital. As long as the numbers can work out at the end of the day and the business operation can pay for the interest and anything that has to do with paying back the loan, which we are acquired to buy or build the asset, then it doesn't matter how much the interest are at the end. If it's going to be fulfilled and paid for by the asset itself, then it's going to be good debt. That's the type of debt we want to have. OPM provides us, the investor, with leverage power. We can harness the strength of larger capital as an investor with less money to make investments that can lift up larger assets. Imagine a playground seesaw used by kids. It would be difficult for us to pull a smaller child off the ground if we were on one end of the spectrum or the older, bigger youngster was on the other. However, when the little youngster is positioned closer to the center, the little guy's power increases, enabling you to raise the larger investment off the ground. So we need to start receiving that passive income and capital gains income when we are investing. We need to take control. And one of those questions that we need to ask when we are investing in anything is that, how fast would I get my money back, whether it's our own capital that we're using or other people's money? Okay, we want to know the type of answer that we're going to get from that based on facts. Don't go based on opinions. People that might say, okay, you might get this much if the market goes up. No, that's an opinion. That is not a fact. We need to know exactly how much money that asset, that operation or investment is making right now. And after counting the new mortgage that we're going to have, the new loan, we need to take that from the total revenue that is bringing, the bottom line of the existing business right now. Let's say it's X, Y, and Z. We need to take X, Y, and Z and minus whatever interest rates, whatever credit card we're using to pay for this asset. We need to take that into consideration and minus that from the total positive cash flow of that business right now. And that should be good. That should give us the return on investment based on facts. Some people become wealthy and others do not because of leverage. Less than 5% of Americans are proficient at using leverage, which explains why less than 5% of Americans are extremely wealthy. Here's an illustration of leverage power. Let's say an investor has $10,000. She will have $10,000 and assets under her control and $10,000 to invest in the stock market. Investing like this is leverage free. However, she will now own $100,000 asset if she put the $10,000 down as a 10% down payment on a house and use OPM, in this case, a mortgage for the house. Compared to a $10,000 asset, this property or asset has the potential to create far more cash flow. This investor was able to purchase a larger asset thanks to OPM. When people hear this concept, they frequently automatically think of debt as bad debt. However, the truth is that both good and bad debt exist. Bad debt is anything like charging a restaurant meal on a credit card or buying a job or on a payment plan that does not increase or decrease positive cash flow. Conversely, good debt is when a company uses OPM to finance the purchase of a new machinery that boosts sales and profits, such as buying a property that can be rented out and provide positive cash flow daily. maybe it brings 3 times, 4 times more than the mortgage, and that would be good debt. Financially freedom to a professional investor is critical to comprehend the many perspectives on capital raising. Many people have been socialized to live below their means their entire life, and that is something we go against here in our community because that's the poor mindset. We must live above our means. We need to have the mindset of expanding. It's not about cutting expenses. It's not about cutting our liabilities columns. Some liabilities may need to go if they're really bad for us overall. But if it's something that we enjoy doing and it's not hurting anybody and it's improving us, maybe it's a car that we like to drive over the weekend, maybe it's a vacation that we like to have every once a month, maybe it's we want to have a private jet, whatever it is that the person wants to have and is not going to make money with it, it's just for the experience and the enjoyment, then that will be, and if it's on a payment plan and we use an OPM, that could be considered bad debt. But there's nothing wrong with having that because we're going to be focusing on acquiring good debt to pay for any bad debt that we have. So it's all about expanding rather than shrinking. So we live above our means and we expand. Because that way we're training ourselves to spend money wisely, because as an inside investor, on the right side of the cash flow circle, the job number one of an inside investor is to make money, right? That's what we do. We do it through sound investing, so we get excess of cash flow. Now our job is to put that money to work, and we need to choose these assets wisely. Otherwise, the money is going to be lost. And we are here to invest to win all the time. And it's a calculated risk. As long as we do our due diligence, we shouldn't fail on that investment. Regretfully, people frequently bring to the financial world their same perspective on personal money. View the figure below for a more thorough explanation of the differences. This straightforward illustration is known as a cash flow circle. We know the 4 categories of individuals in the world using the cash flow circle. See the diagram below if we have not yet seen it before. 4 players in the game of money. Employee and self-employed, they belong on the left side of the cash flow circle. On the right side, we have the business owner and inside investor. If you're listening to this through our podcast, make sure you go to our YouTube channel because we have the screen sharing on there so you can see the diagram, or you can just simply go to our website and sign up for our free newsletter, and you have the article via email where you can have all the diagrams and other photos that we're sharing to improve our financial IQ. So this diagram right here is the cash flow circle that we're observing right now on the screen, and as you can see, we have the employee on the left side of the cash flow circle. That person has a job. He or she has to show up for work every day, and it has to sell their time for money, right? And so they trade time for money, and it's called earned income. And then the self-employed owns a job, basically. They have to show up to see their clients, and they may not report to a boss, but they still have to show up trading their time for money. So they're working for something that is called earned income. On the right side of the cash flow circle, we find that the business owner owns and controls systems, because a true business is a system of systems, doing the selling and telling for us even when we're not working. The inside investor makes money work hard through sound investing, and it requires the wealthy mindset in order for us to be able to do this, to live and thrive on the right side of the cash flow circle. Now, you can be all the 4 players at the same time, but which side do you want to belong? The left side of the cash flow circle, do you want to thrive on the right side of the cash flow circle? On the right side is where wealth is built and total freedom. On the left side is where security, and it's a fake security, because after 25 years of working for a company, what are they going to give to you back for those 25 years? You can't sell those 25 years. You can't pass that down to your kids unless you're at 10% of the entire field, whatever you're doing. Maybe you're an athlete and you're Cristiano Ronaldo. Now you can pass down the legacy to your kid if that kid wants to play soccer, for an example, right? It's like any other public figure that we know. Like if their kids want to follow their steps, they might have an easier path because they have a true mentor, right? But not all kids want to be like their parents. And we always suggest that we all follow our dreams, our passions, before we start following anybody else's passions and dreams. We need to tap into our greatness. So make sure you go and check out the diagram if you're listening to our podcast right now, because it'll help you change the perspective about which side of the cash flow circle we should be on to build true wealth. The employee and self-employed on the left side. These folks trade their time for money, whether they are employed by a company or operate as a sole proprietor. The business owner and inside investor are located on the right side. As I mentioned, the ability to effectively utilize other people's time and resources is what really separates those on either side, despite the fact that there are many other differences as well. To become a professional investor, we need to move from the left side of the cash flow circle, from the employee and self-employed mindset, to the business owner and inside investor mindset on the right side of the cash flow circle, and learn how to generate wealth using other people's money, debt, because it's tax-free and it's leveraged. Means that we have more ability to capitalize on bigger assets and create money for nothing, literally print the money from thin air. What a financier or investor truly desires. The enormous mystery has an explanation here. All banks, private companies, and other lenders and investors want to know is that they will receive a healthy return on their investment. How much money will they get back if we get X dollars? A strong return on investment is what they seek. Long or complicated presentations are not necessary. Depending on the type of investment or business, it will vary. A pitch that is brief and to the point frequently conveys the presenter's assurance that they understand the investor's needs and are capable of meeting those needs. Therefore, the four pretty basic components that will enable them show the ROI or return investment that they are looking for are the key to collecting money. Now, let's get straight to the point with this useful formula. I'm going to give you the four different components that we need in order to present into any potential investor so that we have a bigger chance to go ahead and acquire and secure that capital that will be other people's money, OPM. What precisely is the investment and why is it so appealing that people should put their money in rather than another if we are raising money for an investment? Recall that while it may be simple to highlight all the benefits of our idea to a potential investor, we should also be truthful and realistic, which implies that there might be some drawbacks. Prepare a strategy for overcoming obstacles and maintaining momentum. Also, it's important that we disclose the liabilities of the business or operation to the investors. They will appreciate that. We need to be transparent. They all know that every investment and business has a risk. And so we need to express that to them. Okay, this is what we feel that we could be weak on. And that way they can also say, oh, you know what? I know how to fix that. That's an easy fix for me. I've done this many times. So transparency goes a long way. Make it easy. Don't be too long. Be truthful. If we're an investor, what essential information will we need to know to feel confident about our investment? This is only good business sense. The investor's degree of confidence will be directly impacted by the partner's experience. Number one, investment or project. Consider the following question as we pitch the project to ourselves. For what project is the lender giving us funding? If it is for our company, what precisely is our company? What distinguishes our company from competitors in our field? What is the intrinsic value that we have? Remember, intrinsic value is when we turn a company into a brand, it means that it's protected. It's, the logo is registered. It does something that no one else can do because it has a patent or has a intellectual property. And it has business integrity, meaning it's profitable. It's solving a problem in the world and people are in need to get that solution that we are offering. So it's making a profit. What distinguishes our company from our competitors in our field, and what is the benefit our company offers that will convince investors that it will succeed? Number two, partners. Who are the main project participants? What history do those partners have? What background do they possess? Stated differently, who is arranging the arrangement and what level of success have they achieved? A significant portion of the equation is the knowledge and skills that each partner brings to the table. Number three, obtaining funds. As precisely as we can, demonstrate to the investor how the initiative, company or investment will generate revenue. Every business and investment initiative has difficulties. Acting as though ours one makes us appear inexperienced. Instead, be realistic and don't shy away from talking about the obstacles that lie ahead. We should include documentation of the overall amount of money we are raising. It is a source, private individuals, conventional lenders, banks, etc. The terms under which it is being borrowed and the intended use of those funds. Hint, doors will close if we even imply that some of the funds raised will go towards paying our salary. Get a job if you want a job, if you want a paycheck. Right, get a job. If you want to earn income, then you go get a job. But we're here to learn how to raise capital and put that money to work. And the reason why we will even get close to raising capital is because we have a sound business put together. We found a successful asset that is succeeding today, that is making cash flow. It could be a business. It could be a real estate property, which is ultimately a business. If it's a commercial real estate property, it's a business. It has a financial statement. Okay, so every investment is ultimately a business, and every business is a system of systems, and is doing what? Selling for us, is making money, raising capital. What's the job number one of a wealthy entrepreneur? Is to raise capital. The number one skill is to sell without selling, using systems and smart marketing. And the job number one of an inside investor or a capitalist or a master investor is to make money, work hard through sound investing. And it requires financial education. Otherwise, a person cannot really make money, unless they're gambling. If it's calculated and it's done properly, then it's through financial education. Otherwise, it's just a straight gambling. Two things are of interest to potential investors. One, when will their initial investment be repaid, and the nature of their comeback, of their cash flow? How much would they get after they get all their money back? How much is their percentage every month? And the second thing is, we can use these figures to gauge how appealing our financing terms and structure are. Number four, management. As they say, throughout history, money follows management due to the fact that the daily operations of any business are vital to its continued success. Investors are curious about who is in charge of them. Describe the person, their history, their response under pressure, etc. The partners are a management team may be the same if we are launching our own company or seeking capital to expand an already established one. In other words, the business itself could have already a team in place. So if we're buying a commercial real estate property that has been functioning for the past 30 years or 20 years, then that business has employees. So we can just take over the operation and show that the management team will stay in place. We might replace several key players to improve the bottom line, but other than that, everybody else that has the experience necessary to run this operation will remain in place. And as long as we can show the bank the cash flow analysis and how we're going to pay that money back that they're lending us, then they're going to be inclined in giving us that money. Okay, so we're using the bank's money, we're using the savers' money. Remember, savers are losers because they're losing money. And they're lending that money to us, to wealth entrepreneurs and inside investors who knows how to put their money to work and sound investing. So that's why financial education is key, because once we have financial education in us, we have the foundation of the wealthy mindset, then we can raise capital. If the staff has experience and knowledge that will inspire trust in the investors, then that shouldn't be a problem at all. Management is essential for rental properties, whether they are residential or commercial. Our bottom line will be determined by how well our office building, retail strip mall, single family home through Airbnb or apartment building runs on a daily basis. Where can we get OPM or other people's money? So where can we obtain OPM and how can we use leverage to increase our net worth? The following is a list of some typical methods for obtaining other people's money legally. Number one, angel investors, sometimes known as venture capitalists, are typically prosperous business owners with substantial sums of money to give. They have excess of cash flow. They learn how to multiply their money to sound investing. So now they have excess of cash flow coming in from different asset classes, and now the job is to make that money work hard. So they're always looking for places to put that money to work. They are not qualified investors. They might make riskier investments and lend more money than a bank would, right? Because a lot of them may have that money, but they're not up to date with everything that's going on, so they can't really launch the business themselves. They need to hire people that are smarter than them, right? So that's why they may make riskier investments and lend more money than a regular bank, because they can just make decisions based on what they feel. In certain cases, their investments are motivated more by a sincere desire to see the business flourish than by a simply financial one. However, venture capitalists are typically groups of experienced investors who are able to raise substantial sums of money and provide their project-specific knowledge. As we might anticipate, they will also demand a great deal of control over their investment, a position on the board of directors, for instance. Number two, conventional financing. This popular and well-known method of financing a purchase is frequently simple to obtain. However, bear in mind that in order to accrue good debt, finance traditional investments with money that we put into our pocket or generate positive cash flow, no liabilities only. It's okay to have liabilities as long as we have an asset and good debt that will pay for that liability. That way we can manage all the liabilities that we have and we never have to run into a problem of lack of money to pay and meet our obligations. Number three, conventional and bank loans. We can obtain other people's money through home equity lines of credit, auto loans, and mortgages. These loans fall into two different categories, secure and unsecured. Secure will require real estate or a vehicle as security to support the loan. Credit, morality, and repayment capacity are the main criteria for unsecured loans, since unsecured loans carry greater risk for the bank and are frequently harder to get. They typically have higher interest rates. However, as I said earlier, as long as the business or investment makes sense and is going to bring or is bringing the positive cash flow every single day, that will take care for the interest rate at the end of the month with ease and will also leave us with positive cash flow every time we make a payment to the bank, we're making a payment to ourselves, then that will be good debt, and who cares about how high the insurance rates are as long as they're making us money. Number four, credit cards are a common and easy to obtain form of open payment money that is abused when used for financing. Individuals without financial resources and education frequently utilize them to maintain their appearance as being rich. Generally speaking, using credit cards for little transactions results in higher costs and lower cash flow. Credit cards can be useful, though if used properly. Use it to fund an investment, for example. remodeling a kitchen to raise the investment property's worth. This raises our cash flow as well as our total investment by enabling us to charge a greater rental rate. Number five, non-traditional financing. Although it may appear like a dubious or hazardous method of funding a venture, the poor and middle class are the only groups who use this less frequently. The wealthy make frequent use of it, the non-traditional financing. Number six, creative financing. Frequently observed in seller carryback agreements, leasing options, and owner financing properties, this kind of financing can occasionally benefit both sides equally. Sometimes an investor can buy a property with little to no down payment. As a result, this kind of transaction can save the seller money by avoiding the capital gains taxes that would otherwise be due on a typical sale. Number seven, peer-to-peer lending, PTP. Lending is a non-traditional funding model that eliminates middlemen like banks by connecting investors and borrowers directly. This usually occurs when a borrower uses an internet platform to request a loan. Investors can choose to invest as much or as little as they choose after pursuing the listings. The borrower receives their money once the loan is fully funded, while the investors receive principal and interest payments on a monthly basis. Hard money and private lenders are those who are eager to lend as money because they have it. Private lenders may be someone we know personally or through connections with them. Friends and family are usually involved in these loans because they want us to succeed. The distinction with hard money lenders is that their motivation for issuing the loan is solely financial. A hard money lender will likely be our first encounter with them. Their priorities will be the collateral and the payback. In conclusion, advice on investing with borrowed funds or OPM, other people's money, it is a good idea to thoroughly comprehend and investigate the available sources for OPM. Identifying how we will utilize the money will help us decide which choice is best for us. Although it could initially seem daunting, obtaining money doesn't have to be a protracted process. When making a pitch to investors, keep it brief and direct. The chances of obtaining the funding we need are higher if we, when attempting to acquire funds, can confidently and clearly address each of the four aforementioned difficulties that we talked about above, which are number one, investment on the project, number two, partners, number three, obtaining the funds, number four, management. We need to address all of those four points, and once we do that, then we have a higher chance to raise in the capital. If you like today's talk, please let me know, okay, down in the comment section. Delivering is all that is left for us to do when we raise the capital, okay? And remember, it takes higher level of financial education to even have passive income, but we need to have passive income today and capital gains income in order to call us true financial investors. So we need to learn how to live and thrive through passive income. We don't receive earned income. We don't make money through a paycheck. We look poor as individuals. On paper, we look poor as individuals. We have companies, and those companies control assets, and those companies have revenue, and we live through that. We thrive through that. So we increase the revenue of our companies, but at the same time, we're decreasing our taxes because we're reducing debt. And when we have capital, we use that to even acquire additional debt. That is good debt because we're going to be using it to invest in our assets column. I hope that you enjoyed today's talk. Like I said, let me know if you have any feedback for me. I appreciate you being here. And make sure you click the link in the description. Subscribe to the newsletter. Go to our website. Check out our products and services and everything that we have available in stores. We're releasing our fourth ebook in the next month or so. It's called How to Raise Capital to Build Wealth, because at the end of the day, the job number one of an entrepreneur, and this is the takeaway, is to raise capital, right? And the skill number one is to sell without selling, using systems and smart marketing. And the job number one of an inside investor or a capitalist or a master investor is to make money work hard through sound investing. Thank you for listening, bringing you the good and bad news of money, the business principles that work in all economies. The power of using other people's money to invest successfully. Okay, and we need to use debt because that is what the banks are in the business for. They need to lend money because the government works with printing money, works with debt. That's why we're over $34 trillion in national debt, and it's not going to change. Inflation will continue to rise because the government prints money to do anything. So in order for us to move forward as a country, we need to print more money. Inflation will continue to rise, so we need to understand the entrepreneurship concepts and the basic rules of investing so that we can multiply our money, so that we make money our slave. So we tell money what to do, and we can thrive and attract anything that we want in our lives because we have the one element that can make possible any of our dreams come true, which is money. Money, it has to be understood, it has to be mastered, because otherwise it will master you, and we don't want to have that. We don't want a piece of paper that has no value, because money goes back to its intrinsic value. Right, has lost 95% of its value, and every currency in history has always gone back to its initial value, its intrinsic value, which is zero. So it's not going to take another 30 years for money to lose the 5% left of value that it has. The only way money maintains its value today is by moving it from one asset to another asset. And I mean one cash flowing asset that is producing cash flow, moving that to another asset. So it's, and if you have money saved up in the bank, how do you move that into a cash flowing asset? You need to find an asset and put that to work and then receive cash flow. That's how we'll determine whether you're a true financial investor or not. So start investing in a financial education, because it's something that no one can take away from us, and it's going to give us the keys to build true wealth. There are two types of debt, good debt and bad debt. Good debt makes us wealthy, and bad debt makes us, it just costs money. It doesn't necessarily decrease our cash flow, but it's just, it's not increasing or decreasing our cash flow. And it can decrease our cash flow because now we might have to pay out of our own cash flow for that, which is bad debt, right? So it may be an obligation that we have and we're not creating money with it. It's just a hobby or something that we like to have. But if we're smarter, then we go ahead and invest into an asset that will go ahead and take care away, will take care for that expense every time it needs it. So if it's a subscription, it could be a lease, or it could be maybe one-time payment, and it'll pay for that one time, and that asset can continue to bring more cash flow to us in the form of infinite return on investment. That's when we have none of our capital invested into the asset, and yeah, we control the asset and receive passive income from that asset, or capital gains income. So the asset is literally printing us money from thin air, money for nothing. Anyway, stay extraordinary and wealthy. Talk to you on the next podcast. Thank you. Bye for now.